The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John the Baptist appeared in the desert, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey. And this is what he proclaimed: "One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Comfort. Give comfort to my people. At the time those words were uttered, God's chosen people were desperately in need of some comforting. They were depressed exiles in Babylon. In the land of Judah previously, they had not kept the covenant with God and sinned against him. They had turned to worshiping idols. They failed to keep the commandments of the Lord their God. They failed to live in right relationship with him and their neighbor. Therefore, they faced the consequences of their actions and were punished. The temple of the Lord was destroyed, along with the rest of Jerusalem. The people of Judah became exiles in a foreign land, subject to their conquerors, the Babylonians. These exiles desperately needed to be reminded that God was still all-powerful. They needed to be reminded that God still loved them. They needed to be reminded of the promise that they would again return to their land and rebuild the temple of the Lord their God. And the prophet Isaiah was the one who pronounced comfort to a hopeless people. God is faithful to his promises, and he did indeed make a way for the Jewish people to return to their land and rebuild their temple. But the prophet Isaiah announced much more than just that. He prophesied God's advent, his coming to his people. The prophet Isaiah told of the voice that cries out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord." It was John the Baptist who eventually appeared in the desert. He proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. His proclamation points us to the real problem, Israel's and ours: sin. It was the sins of Israel that separated them from their God and caused the great misfortune that befell them. Sin is the failure to genuinely love God and neighbor. And it has been humanity's problem, our problem, since the very beginning. In our present day, we seem to have lost our sense of sin. I mean, people of our time really do believe the pop psychology line, "I'm okay, you're okay." But my brothers and sisters, it didn't take me very long or much life experience to realize that I'm not okay. I'm right there with St. Paul when he says in the letter to the Romans, "What I do not understand. For I do not do what I want, I do what I hate." And who here doesn't experience these competing desires and internal conflicts? Truth be told, we're not okay. And looking around, it's clearly evident that our world is not okay. We live in a world that is polarized and divided. Nations hurl threats against each other with the excuse of protecting their citizens, but ultimately we endanger all of humanity. Senseless terror attacks pop up on the news daily, those linked with radical international groups or those that seem to spring up closer to home. They are a common feature of our time. All over the globe, people wander away from their homes and homelands hopelessly, desperately seeking to escape violence or economic distress. Brothers and sisters, our world is not okay. Looking at ourselves, our families, our communities, our nation, our world, in the light of faith, we see the real problem: sin. In the face of so much pain, suffering, and division, maybe we too are in need of some comforting. And if sin had been the end of the story, it would have been a pretty ugly ending indeed. Thankfully, it isn't. Sin isn't even the most important part of our story. There is good news in all of this. Our God did not leave us soiled with our sins, in darkness separated from His eternal light and love. No, our God comes to us. He came to us over 2,000 years ago as a baby, dwelling among us. He comes in spirit and power to us in our hearts and in our daily lives. And He will come again in glory and power and majesty to judge the living and the dead. This is the greatest news of all. Our God comes to us. Let us today then heed the word prophesied by Isaiah and prepare the way for the Lord. Let us heed the words of John the Baptist and repent. Let us receive God's gift, the forgiveness of our sins. Let us ready ourselves for the advent of our God. Brothers and sisters, this is great news. Our sins can be forgiven. They need not soil our baptismal garments forever. They need not cast a shadow of darkness and pain over the rest of our lives. As we heard in our second reading, the Lord does not wish that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, has the power to forgive sins. In fact, He was named Jesus because He came to save His people from their sins. He has given this power and authority to the church through His apostles, who share in His ministry of reconciliation. He breathed on His apostles, gave them the Holy Spirit, and told them, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and whose sins you retain are retained." And this ministry of reconciliation, it has taken different forms down through the centuries in the church. But reconciliation has always been a feature of who we are as the church. By entrusting this ministry and authority to His apostles, Christ has provided us with the sacrament of reconciliation. He has provided a way for us to be restored to God's grace and friendship. And what a tremendous gift we have received. So let us take advantage of it, especially during this season of joyful expectation and preparation, the season of Advent. Let us be washed clean so that we may be found without spot or blemish before Him, at peace. This is the time to summon the courage to return to reconciliation if we haven't been in years. This is the time to acknowledge our sins and confess them, to receive absolution from the priest and be forgiven, to do penance so as to try and make amends for what we have done. Brothers and sisters, now is the time to prepare the way of the Lord, because He comes to us. And that is truly comforting.